91K191. Is this a basic mystic Sufi Gnosis secret having to do with liberation and ascent to paradise while still alive? I am reminded of yoga breathing techniques, which certainly influence the inner biological clock rate of neural firing. You seek to slow down so that world becomes heaven. I did the opposite. I speeded up a sort of anti-yoga experience that put me in hell. Nevertheless, from this I drew a profound conclusion, unpleasant as it, the BIP, was. Although more imprisoned, I could still figure it all out, i.e., the meta-abstraction. 91K208. In no way did Paul see Torah and Christ as progressive evolutionary stages in one information organism. In fact, who has? One, not the Jews, certainly. They revere the Torah as absolute. Two, not the Christians. They revolt against the Torah in the name of Christ. The concept of evolution through qualitatively and radically different stages is unknown to them. That the Torah is an earlier form of Christianity, whose later form is Christ. No one sees this. Note, it would be wrong to say, one, the Torah as an earlier form of Christ, or two, Christ is a later form of the Torah. Neither statement is true. Both are stages of the, so to speak, third organism. And there is now a third and final stage, Joachim's spirit, in which each man has his own personal scripture in his head, and each is unique, but recombined out of the info of the prior stages. This is an info entity, living info. It is subduing and permeating the universe order. Organization equals info. It does not become old and ossified. At the end, it plays as a child like a free little animal. 91K213. If I am right, that a divine compound macro-entity is assembling itself from subdivine, i.e. mundane, sub-assemblies, then I have in my possession extraordinary knowledge. I base this concept on 1. The revelation of the dialectic and 2. The Dithion dream in conjunction with BTA and Russ's letter. Now, this would explain the God present in the trash strata experience that I had, which is expressed in Ubik. What Teilhard calls Christ is a conclusion of an evolutionary process, the components and lower stages possessing no divine or spiritual quality. Yet when assembled, the divine is or becomes or occurs. The implications of this are enormous. One must radically reassess what mundane and divine signify. Mundane is a simpler, slower stage of divine, or put another way, divine is a more complex, faster stage, the outcome stage of mundane. But this is not the whole story. The other fundamental notion is disparate versus unitary. As long as it exists in plural, disparate form, as unconnected discrete pieces, as multiplicity, it is not divine. Thus, when I saw Valis, the significant thing that I saw was plural, discrete things, behaving as, consisting of, functioning as a unity, which was to me simply inexplicable. And yet, it is precisely this coming together into a unity that constitutes the leap from the mundane to the divine. 91K396. I have been searching all my life for the benchmarks of God, indubitably pointing to Him. I have found them, Kate, Anne, and Lauren, the Sufi proof, beauty. The light from above illumining the world scene into the nativity scene, I saw it, all creatures great and small, dance upon their feet. I have seen the infinities of Judaism, which is morality, of Christianity, which is love, of the Greeks, which is wisdom. And I have seen God's power as pronoia, and charis to rescue me by bending the world itself. But beauty is a perplexing infinity, raising more questions than it answers. It is a puzzle too intricate for me. It spans all else. As I sit across the game board from Krishna, I say, I have found in beauty that which I could not myself have made. Thus I have found the benchmarks. I believe, for I have the evidence that I trust. It is sufficient. There is an infinity of good, of love, of wisdom, of power. But each particular beautiful thing is infinitely beautiful, and there is an infinity of them. So beauty alone is an infinity of infinities. Infinity squared. Folder 81, June 1981. 81, K10. Thus, through the Spirit, there comes into existence a perfect absolute correspondence between Bible and our world. The Bible as information applies to this world here, this world now. World is meanwhile revealed as information, derived from information as its ontological basis, and this information is identical to the Bible as information. It is as if the Bible derives from and applies to world, world derives from and applies to the Bible, so that when you perceive world, you perceive the Bible as world. And when you read the Bible, it is no longer information about a world, but is a world. And it is the same world that you live in here and now. The Spirit accomplishes this through supratemporal archetypes analogous to Plato's Ida. These archetypes are identical for both world and Bible, a common source that can be said to be world as information or information as world. If I hadn't experienced this, both in regard to world and the Bible, I wouldn't believe it could occur. But as I say, I know how it is done, by means of supratemporal archetypal constants found both in world, underlying world, and in the Bible, underlying it. Thus, what we know of as world and what we know of as information are viewed as two aspects of a single substantia, each equally real, in the exact fashion Spinoza sets forth. To repeat, world properly seen is information, and this information is the same as that which we call the Bible. Bible properly seen, via per the Spirit, is seen not as a description of, information about, a world as a past time and place, and not really even about this world here at this time and this place, but is this time world and is this place world. That is how what is known a priori intelligibly and what is known through the senses empirically become one and the same. This is extraordinary. Thus, if you were to write an ontological description of our world as it really is, you would find to your surprise that you had written passages from of the Bible right down to the correct names of people. And this explains tears. World can be deduced from the Bible, and the Bible from our world. They are one and the same. But what is perhaps most unexpected is that world is now viewed abstractly as information, which no one anticipated. And this information is Scripture. The transtemporal constants, then, on which world is based, are as much informational in essence as they are anything else. Intelligible concepts in the mind of God. This is a totally new understanding of the informational basis of reality, and the possibility that a mind exists, the Spirit, in which the Bible ceases to be an informational description of a world and instead is that world, as if information and world are two stages or modes of one thing. Equally astounding is the discovery that each of us has an informational basis. Each of us is a unique complex of ideas in the mind of God, which can be expressed verbally as information. Likewise, we can be said to be spear carriers in the book, the Bible. This would be Thomas. My God, this is an updated version of the description of the relationship between the Torah and reality, absolute correspondence. So this isn't an original idea with me, but I experienced it. 81K13. Possibly, it can be said that I have combined basic notions from Judaism, Torah, Christianity, Christ Logos as ontological source of the universe, and Greek philosophy, the basis of reality being structure, not a physical substance, and the Ida. But my synthesis only can be appreciated in this, the information decade. World, physical reality, can be converted into info and then retrieved. Thus, a book can be a physical world rather than just a description of that world. 81K81. There is no rational way out of the maze, no rigid formula. Rigid formulas are maze constructs. 81K86. I am interested in what I call temporal parallaxis, the two psyche entity able to perform a double field superimposition and thus break free of time and causation. 81K89. Now, here is another point. Unless or until I figure this inner part out, Christ in us, as Paul puts it, I would not really have understood 2374. That is, my belief that in seeing Valis externally, I saw the cosmic Christ is only half the story, and perhaps the lesser half. However, it is just as well that in writing Valis, I did not claim to be Christ, only to have seen him. Psychotic inflation of the ego is frowned on, even by the amiable. 81K105. So in BTA, at the end I solved Valis. No wonder I long supposed it was Jim returning to me from the other side. What must be rejected is the Christian idea of you being judged upon death and sent to heaven or hell. Apparently, it is 1, a much longer climb, involving many rebirths, but 2, it is always up. There is no hell. There is just nirvana and attaining nirvana. And 3, all creatures participate. It is not so much a matter of judging, but of learning. Why, this is Buddhism. Christianity subsumed by Buddhism, as I guessed when I read Luke. Russ's letter is right on. You have to work at becoming Christ, i.e. a Buddha. Did not God himself tell me that 1, there are many dharmas, ways, routes, and 2, they all lead to him sooner or later? He did tell me that. My route is doubt. 81K221. I must not allow myself to think of this in terms of sin, sinful, depraved man, negative judgment and damnation, and man's inability to save himself, as the Reformers and Paul thought of it. I must remember it as I experienced it, the inrushing of those parts lacking in me that by their bestowal by God rendered me complete and really ensouled me. Last night the idea came to me that Angel Archer is not my soul, but the completed person of which I, PKD, was only one half. She is unique and idiosyncratic, but a complete person. I guess this is the same as soul, and it is created, but not by the person, i.e. by me, but by God through justification. Hence it is restored, pre-fallen, man, as I suspected. 81K225. I guess the realization last night, that it was justification, is in itself revelation of the same kind as 2374, plus such revelations as the hypnagogic vision about the messenger and bill of particulars. I sense a meaning in the term justification, not connected with sin, but with incompleteness. Perhaps this is Jung's influence on me. But I believe that the rest of me entered me as an adventitious second psyche. And this is the subject of BTA and Russ's letter, how this completion is or resembles being Christ, being perfect. Hence the adventitious psyche is human. Hence, I wrote recently that now I seem to have a center, but did not before. More important, I see this as being ensouled. The work has reached its end, suddenly, by an act of God. The person has been searching for his missing parts, i.e. his soul, throughout all time and everywhere, with the possibility that the person may, on his own, never be complete. I consider this search for one's soul as the modern way of viewing redemption from bondage to sin, enslavement, or, as I speak of it, machine-level consciousness. 81K230 Gut. It would have killed my soul if I'd written the Blade Runner novelization, or worse, not written BTA. Angel Archer is a new, ex nihilo creation, literally out of nothing. There is a great spiritual, artistic, evolutionary life mystery in her coming into being. 81K253 Soul, then, is metaphor for life, and moreover, life newly born, and a greater, better life, the like of which showed up nowhere before in my work. That upon finishing BTA, I believed that I had risked my literal physical life and almost lost it is then logically what I would feel, would of necessity feel, because indeed I did risk my life. I risked my physical life in the service of preserving, augmenting, and prolonging my spiritual life. It almost turned out that I literally physically died in the act, work, of giving birth to Angel Archer. Had it killed me, I would have been concerned about only one thing. Does Angel Archer exist now? As far as I'm concerned, she does, and I don't appear to have physically died. But I subordinated my physical well-being for the sake of creating her, to the task of creating her, so well I might view her as my soul. But in viewing Angel Archer as eternal, now that I created her, I had to face the other side of the matter, that I am not. No wonder the most profound feelings and intimations possible flooded over me in the weeks following my completion of that book. It is a book whose story, theme, and ideas, even its artistic worth, are all subordinated to Angel Archer as a person, as I wrote Russ recently. In thermal terms, I, as an organism, expended my maximum effort at the service of the need to grow. It is in my work that my growth axis exists, and I am well aware of this. I have long been at the disposal of my work, viewing myself as its instrument, not it mine. Yet paradoxically, in BTA, at least when viewed in conjunction with Russ's letter and my Dithion dream, a feedback from it to me as a person, occurred. And a major conceptual insight arises in me as a result, an insight totally new to me, having to do with 1, what Christ is, and 2, how achieved, that is, what brings on or causes Christ or Christogenesis. Yes, that is the word, Christogenesis. Christ is seen in evolutionary terms paralleling or expressing the very evolution that I believe my work represents, and which I see in the macrocosm and in Valis. At a certain crucial stage of evolution toward complexification of structure, i.e. negentropy, the mundane passes over, in a quantum leap, into the divine. The man becomes Dithion, Christ, the macrocosm likewise, a la Teilhard and his point omega. 81K258 I maintain that my corpus, my opus, required her, and required me to be able to create her. Perhaps prove I could create her, as an artistic problem I consciously and deliberately posed for myself to, here is a remarkable thought, to justify my work in terms of wholeness, completeness, and intactness. Which event, act, is analogic to God's justifying and completing me in terms of intactness and wholeness. Thus, my creating Angel Archer ex nihilo is my analogic reperformance as a writer in his work of God's act toward me. Creating Angel Archer is an act learned from 2374. It is that justification first applied to me, now applied by me to my work. God perfects me. I comprehend this. I then, in turn, act to complete my work. I take my cue from the Pantocrator, my creator. He, as artisan, instructs by example, me as artisan. He shows me that an ex nihilo adventitious psyche can be injected, and, like Thomas, Angel is ex nihilo, and in a very real sense, adventitious. She came into my work the way Thomas came into me. Thomas is what was missing in me, missing and needed. Angel is what was missing and needed. In both cases, wholeness is the goal, and in both cases, wholeness was the result. One could say that God showed me that beyond logical necessity and organic development, unfolding lies the possibility of the unprecedented ex nihilo new. Like the resurrection, it is logically impossible. Had he not done it with for me, I would not have known that it could be. So in this regard, Angel Archer is indeed the offspring of 2374, of the Dithion, the justification, but by way of me as a creative artist. Then probably I did not merely describe her when I wrote the book. In writing the book, I created her, which answers that question. And then having as a creative artist created her in and for my work, I find her returning to me, so to speak, as my soul. I projected her outward in my work, exhaled her, and then introjected her after I had created and projected her. And then by reincorporating her as my soul, I fuse myself as a person with myself as artist, i.e., with my work. The schism is healed. I and my work become one. And curiously, I and my work constitute another push-pull dithion. Here again is the dialectic. Here again is growth and change, and a complementary antithesis. I am not Angel Archer. We are separate. We are die, and yet we perhaps form one person. I create my character, and she in turn creates me, the total, intact, completed, whole me. Hence, I speak of her correctly as my soul. And I speak of, as e.g. in my letter to Russ, somehow having created my own soul. An extraordinary idea. She is the spirit of my intactness, of the actuality that is Dithion. And this suggests that the ultimate essence of Dithion is ultra-autonomy and rationality and individuality, all characterized by her. Perhaps she is Logos, human Logos.